Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 22. As we continue on in our series in 2 Samuel, we are coming near the end of the book and looking forward to that. This chapter is a very long chapter. It's talking about a song or a praise that David has for directed to the Lord and directed to God. It is also one that is repeated from Psalms chapter number 18. At least the majority, I would probably say about 90 to 95% of it is the same psalm and song that is written in Psalms chapter 18. We looking at this night, as you come to this chapter, it's, I wouldn't call it overwhelming or intimidating. At the same time, it is very long and there's so much in it. You don't want to just breeze through it, but at the same time, you could spend months looking at it. And so what we're going to try to do is, at least for this evening, we're going to look at it, kind of read through it, give a little bit of commentary on it, and just look at a few of the phrases. And I think these phrases are all developed and also reinforced throughout the psalm itself. And the one phrase we're going to be focusing in on is found in the spot that is found in, we're going to look at chapter 22, look here at verse number 29. It says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, but my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect." The phrase that we're going to focus in on after we read through the chapter is that phrase found in verse number 31, his way is perfect. And one of the great things as we're looking through the story of David, no one could have wrote this. I mean, if you thought about it, if it was a TV show, everybody would say that's unrealistic to think that a shepherd boy taking on a bear, and a shepherd boy taking on a lion, a shepherd boy taking on Goliath, a shepherd boy then going to become anointed king and go through all those things, and then the one king becomes so jealous that he goes and chases him in the wilderness, and God delivers him time after time again. And then not only that, David has the opportunity to put Saul to death on a couple different occasions, and he does not. And here towards the end of his life, and I know we gave that challenge when we looked at verses chapter 21, 22, 23, 24. Some people think it's an appendix, and they point back to different times. And I showed you why I think this is written in this order for a purpose and a reason, and that David is an older man now looking back at his life. He has just been delivered from those giants. And the last couple weeks ago, we talked about the giant that almost slew David in chapter number 21. And we get here in chapter 22, David is thankful. David is seeing God deliver him once again, and David now is saying, God, your way is perfect. It's not because it's been easy, because we know that him being hunted down like a dog and him facing the bear and facing the lion and facing the Ziklags of life were not easy. But David is saying, over these years, God, your way has been perfect. And what we want to look at tonight is when we follow God's way, even though sometimes it might take us through some dark times and some hard time, his way is perfect. When we do things our own way, we mess up. When David decided that he didn't need to go to battle where the kings would usually be there fighting, that's when he got in trouble with Bathsheba. When David decided to go over to the Philistines and they made a city for Ziklag for him there because he thought there was no more purpose for him to be in Israel, that's when he got in trouble. But when David sees himself delivered once again, you don't see him complaining, look, I've gotten old, I'm not going to be able to kill any more giants. You don't see him saying, look, my nephews had to save me, my mighty men had to save me, and going and complaining. He says, God, your way is perfect, and I'm submitting to your way. So in a little while, we're going to look at some different things, but as we look through this chapter, the three main points are, his way is perfect because of his ability to direct. His way is perfect because of his ability to direct. We're going to see here that God directed David through all this. His way is perfect because of his ability to deliver. And you're going to see here that God is the one that has delivered David through some very horrible circumstances, very trying times. And also, last but not least, his way is perfect because of his delight. And you're going to see there's different spots where David talks about being the Lord's delight, being God's delight, how God takes pleasure in helping those that are righteous. If you want an outline for the chapter, and we're not going to go through an outline like we might normally, if you look at verses 1, 2, 3, you're looking at the praise for God. If you look at the verses 4 through 7, it's a prayer to God. And verses 8 through 16 would be considered the power of God. If you look at verses 17 through 20, it talks about the preservation from God. 21 through 25 talks about his purity before God. 26 through 28, the policy of God. And last but not least, verses 29 through 51, the performance of God, if you wanted to kind of keep track of how things were going. But I think we're just going to start off, like we do sometimes, but not always, not most times, and just read the chapter, just get a whole idea of what's being said here, and then reinforce a couple things at the end. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord." So we see him, this is a prayer. This is something that David is giving to the Lord. We're supposed to speak to the Lord. We're supposed to talk to God. And it says, "The words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." Now, in chapter 18 of Psalms, it was probably written at a different time. It was maybe written earlier in his life. In chapter 22 here, you have him being delivered once again, but he is reiterating the things he had learned aforehand. And those are things that are important. God teaches us things, but we must remember to reiterate them. We must always be learning. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to relearn certain things. But he's praising the Lord because he's been delivered out of the hand of all his enemies. And we see the giants in the chapter that beforehand, but even goes back to remember how God delivered him miraculously out of the hand of Saul. Verse number 2, "And he said, the Lord is my rock." And I want you to take notice here. When we're looking at these couple verses that we're talking about the praise, David is making it personal. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. We all know that God can be a rock. We all know that God can be a fortress, that God can be a deliverer. But David's saying, I have God's way is perfect. I have God, let God lead me. And as I let God lead me, he has become my rock. He has become my fortress. He has become my deliverer. The God of my rock, in whom will I trust? He is my shield. Once again, it's personal. And the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, and my savior. Thou savest me from violence. So you see the praise for God here. Now look at his prayer, and you got to think about how wonderful you put yourself in your circumstances. He's praising the Lord because he's been delivered out of the hand of his enemies. And we're not just talking about normal enemies. We're talking about giants. We're talking about King Saul. We're talking about large enemies, many times against a small band of men that he has. And it says in verse number 4, this prayer, "I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." He says, I'm going to call unto God. And then he begins to describe here how he feels like things are going on. He is overwhelmed here. At different times in his life, he says, when the waves of death come past me, it's as if I'm drowning. Ever been there where you feel like you're drowning and feel like there is no hope? And it says, and the floods of the ungodly men have made me afraid and fearful of what man's going to do him. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. They were always before him. In my distress, and in verses 5 and 6, he's not saying God's way was not easy, always easy. He's not saying God's way is going to be a bed of roses. He wasn't preaching a prosperity gospel when he says his way is perfect. But what he is saying, in my distress, I was distressed, but the great thing is I called upon the Lord. And he is able to call upon him. And this is the reason why his way is perfect, is because God has the ability to direct us. And when we speak to him, he speaks to us. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And look at this. And he did hear my voice. He heard him. And he even goes a step farther. He did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. It wasn't just a noise. It was a cry that entered into his ears, and it's something he listened. But you listen to verses 8 through 16. It shows the power of God, and there's some symbolism in here. It shows how God can respond. Because there's many people who can listen to our call, listen to our cries, be sorrowful for what's going on, but this God can respond in his power. Look what it says in verse 18. Then the earth shook and trembled. Who can shake the earth but God? No one can. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven were moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth. The fire of coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And this gives me a picture of what God can do on behalf of a believer that is crying out, on behalf of a child that's crying out to him. We are limited here as humans in what we can do, but God can shake the earth if he wants to and needs to. And it says in verse number 10, he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions, and round about him dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice and sent out his arrows and scattered them lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. I mean, you just read those verses and the poetic states of that and the reality of what God can do and how God is not limited in the things that God can do to help on behalf of a child of his that's in distress. Now you go to verse number 17, he begins to talk about the preservation or the deliverance that God offered him. He sent from above. Look what he does. He sent from above, talking about God. God, he said, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. We see the personalization that David had towards God in verses 2 and 3. Now we see how God helps him personally. It's not something he's helping the church. He's helping a group of believers. He's helping Israel. David is speaking about how God, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. From they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I like that. We're going to come back to it in a little while. But God delighted in helping David. But look at the response. Look at the reason why. He says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Now, was David perfect? No. Was David always right? No. We've seen in the last 10 chapters, because of David's sin with Bathsheba, he has been punished and punished and punished and punished. Because of this wickedness and because of the sin, because of the prophecy that was given by the prophet about the sword not leaving his house. But David recognizes this, and David's saying, look, God, your way is perfect. He says, when I was doing what was right, you delighted in me, and you delivered me from these things. Verse 21, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. He said, Pastor, you said something about direction. How does God lead us? Well, that's what it says in verse 22 and 23. I have kept the ways of the Lord. God has given leadership. Well, what ways are we supposed to have? Have not wickedly departed from my God. Well, what does he mean? Well, it says it right here. For all his judgments were before me, and for his statutes, I did not depart from them. He's saying the commandments of God. This is God's commandment. This is God's way. When we say his way is perfect, it's right here. It's found in his word. And so when we don't depart from it, that's when his way is perfect for us. His way is always perfect, whether we're obeying it. It's the question. We'll keep on going. And I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, the Lord have recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou shalt show thyself pure, and with the froward, thou shalt will show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. Then he begins to talking about, once again, the direction in verses 29 through 34. He says, for thou art my lamp. What is a lamp? A lamp is something that gives light, that gives direction, O Lord. And the Lord will lighten my darkness. He is the one that can shine the light upon the dark. He can give us where to go, even in the dark. And then he says, for by thee I have run through a troop. When I was listening to you, when I was following you, when I was not leaving your statues, when I allowed you to be my lamp, I was able to run through a troop. By my God have I leapt over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. Even if it was through the troop, even if it was at a wall, his way was perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, saying it's something that is sure. It's something that is true. It's something that has proven, and it's been proven over the last thousands of years, that God's word is true and God's word is going to stand. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength. And that I was tempted to preach on the fact of his way being perfect, about God being his strength. And I think on Sunday night, we might look at where our strength comes from and why many believers are weak today. But God should be our strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. There's the direction. His ways are perfect because he has the ability to lead us. Let's keep on going. I know where time is creeping up on us here. And it says, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. So we continue on seeing here, we saw the purity of David, and we saw the policy of God. But you see how God is able to perform this, how God is able to lead us. I like verse number 36. Thou hast also given me the shield of my salvation, and thy gentleness have made me great. He's saying, in people's eyes, I may be great. I'm the one that killed Goliath. I'm the one that waited for Saul. I'm the one that brought peace to Israel. What he's saying, it has nothing to do with me. It has something to do with the loving kindness and gentleness of God is the reason why he was great. It wasn't because of what he's done. It wasn't because of the fact that he was good at writing psalms or playing that harp or throwing a rock or being a giant slayer. He said, I am great today because you've been kind to me and you've been patient with me. And anything that we have is because of the patience and loving kindness of God, and his gentleness has made us what we become. Keep on going. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them. I have turned not again until I have consumed them. I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me. Once again, there you go. He's saying, Lord, you're the one that's girded me with strength to battle. It's all because of you. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to the head of the heathen, a people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient to me. He's speaking of the privileges and how God has worked it out and how God's way has been perfect. Even strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted to be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is the God that avengeth me. And he's saying, God, you're the one that your way is perfect. You're able to avenge me. You're able to lead me. You're even able to make strangers fear me. And it's because you live. And he says, the Lord liveth and blessed be my rock, who exalted to be the God of the rock of my salvation. Verse 48, it is the God that avengeth me and that bringeth down the people under me and that bringeth me forth from my enemies. Thou also have lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. And then he speaks of his final couple verses in praise. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. So he's not just going to sing praises in the temple. He's singing praises to people that do not know God. And then he says he is the tower of salvation. I don't believe verse 51 is found in chapter 18 in Psalms. There's some things that go back and forth there. But he's writing this at the end. He is the tower of his salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forever. So, great chapter to the Bible. Let's look at these three main points here and see how we can learn and grow, that David learned something after these many years. Hey, I can serve God. Hey, his way is perfect. Even if it took me through Ziklag, which made him ready for Jerusalem, even if it took me through the shepherd fields with the bear and the lion, even if it took me to the battlefield with Goliath, even if it took me to the caves running from Saul, he says, his way is perfect. The first point was, as we mentioned already, his way is perfect because of his ability to direct. His way is perfect because of his ability to direct. You ever try to follow directions before? I know I have. Sometimes, I don't know if our GPSs have made us dumb today, at least for me, when it comes to traveling. If I did not have my GPS, I'd be in trouble because I type it in there and I focus on getting there and I listen to the instructions. My wife is a different person. She's wired differently. She looks at landmarks. She can figure out how to get to a place after being there once. Me, I got my mind focused on so many things. Many times I'm talking on my phone through the Bluetooth. I'm not using my headphone up here like this. I'm talking through the radio. I'm being safe in my mind, and I'm getting things done, paying attention to the road, not really looking at things. You know, there's different people that want to give us direction. There's a lot of different people that have opinions of where your life should go and what your life should be, whether you ask for them or not. Sometimes people will offer their advice. This is what I think you should do, and this is what I think you should do, especially as a young person, especially when you're going through a trial. They're going to say, this is the direction you should go. David's saying, his way is perfect. And the reason why God's way is perfect is because when he gives you directions, he's going to give you right directions. He knows what type of directions you should get, where you should go. So, well, why in the world did he know better than anyone else? He's God. He knows the beginning from the end. We see it from our viewpoint, we see how it affects us today, maybe even 10 years or 20 years down the road. God sees it from the beginning of eternity until all the way down when we're in heaven. He knows exactly what's needed. He knows exactly what we need to go through and what he experiences. So when God gives us directions and when God says, this is the path where I think you should go, that is someone we can listen to and we can trust. Like I said before, no one would have written that script from the lion to the bear to the Goliath to Saul to Ziklag to him being king and then why he's at king, the sin with Bathsheba and even the giant that almost slew him that we just, you know, all those different things. No one would have pictured that. No one would have patterned their life. No one would have said, well, I need to go through this and I need to go through this and I need to experience this and I need to be in the kingdom for a little while playing the harp so I can see all the things that are happening so I can learn what happens in a palace. No one would have picked that, but God knew that's what David needed, to learn to trust in him, to learn that his way is perfect. And because if David would have achieved all those things on his own, if David would have became king after Goliath right then and there, like the people probably wanted to anoint him, he wouldn't have been ready. But when God allowed these things to happen in his life, God became his rock. When he was out in the wilderness, God became his fortress. When he watched God deliver him time and time again, it encouraged and built up his faith so that way he knew that someday down the road when God was leading him that his way was perfect and that God would still be able to deliver him. As you go through in verse number 18, he delivered me. If David couldn't have said that, David wouldn't have been ready to be king. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. He can give us the best directions because his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. You think about probably the most famous passage that David wrote was Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. To me, this passage here, they blend together in the idea. He's saying, Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He may give me delight. You know, he gives that whole song, that whole psalm there, talking about how if we make him our shepherd and we follow after him, he's going to make us lay beside the still waters. He's going to even take us through the valley of the shadow of death, and I don't have to be afraid. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why is that? It's because the Lord is our shepherd. And when we learn that his way is perfect, and we learn that he is the one that is God, and he knows which way is the best way, and we trust in him, we're going to say his way is perfect. It's because his ability to direct us. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know what? He repeats that again in Proverbs 16:25. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that we think is right, and we think directions are good, and we think we can head our ways, but God's saying, when you try to do things that's right in your own mind, your own thinking, without consulting the Word of God and God Himself, those ways will end in destruction. David experienced it. You say the Lord is hard sometimes. You say the Lord is tough. You say He might send me in a direction I don't want to go. I remind you of verse number 36, that last phrase, "Thy gentleness have made me great." He was saying, God, I needed all those things. You patiently took me through all those different things. You were gentle with me. You were patient with me. You were kind to me. And I know your way's perfect, because anything that's good about me is because I followed your directions. His way is perfect. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows how to give you directions. Second thing is, his way is perfect because of his ability to deliver. His way is perfect because of his ability to deliver. You go verse number 5. When the waves of death come past me, the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell come past me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. You know, his way is perfect because he's able to deliver you even when he takes you through a hard and difficult place. Think about that example again about driving directions. Sometimes I have tried my best to listen to someone else, give me directions. You go down the road, and about a mile from now, you make a right, then you make a left. And if I did not find a location, you know what I do? I call the person up and say, I'm lost. Can you help me? Or I go back and try to find that way again. And there are times when there are people who can give you directions to find the right location at the right time. But there are other times when people do not know what they're talking about. There are other times when people will give you wrong directions. Sometimes, not very often, that a GPS will send you to the wrong spot. I've ended up in the middle of a road, nothing around. And they said, you have arrived at your location. I didn't arrive at my location. There wasn't someone I could call up and say, hey, I'm stuck here. I need some help. The lady on the GPS doesn't give out her phone number. It doesn't happen. But you know what the Bible is saying here, what David is saying here, his way is perfect because he not only does he lead you, but when you get to those spots that are troubled, and when you get to those spots that you need deliverance, when you get to those times when it seems like hell is compassing you, and when it seems like the waves of death are compassing you, and the floods of ungodly men, and it seems like it's so overwhelming, you can cry out to God. And it says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. He's not only able to give us direction, he's able to give us deliverance when we need it. And that's amazing. God says in Jeremiah 33, call unto me and I will answer thee. I know I've called people looking for help before, and they weren't home, or they didn't pick up their phone, or they didn't realize how bad of an emergency is. If they knew I was in trouble, if they knew I was stuck, they would have called, they would have picked up the phone, but maybe they weren't available at the time. But God says, if you'll call unto me, he says, I will answer thee. And that next thing, he says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, I like that verse. I thought about that verse. It's one of my prayer promises verses. But as I sat there and thought about it and studied it and meditated on it, he's saying, if I call unto him and he's going to answer me, and then he's going to do what? He's going to show me something. He's going to show me great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So in my thinking here is, if I call unto God and I have a need, or I need to be delivered, or if I need wisdom, it means that there's something I cannot handle on my own. And God's saying, I will show you. I'm going to reveal something unto you. I'm going to show you something that you did not know. I need wisdom. I need to be delivered. David's saying, you know, the floods were compassing me. Hell was compassing me. Ungodly people were all around him. And he says, if you'll call unto him, he's going to answer you. And I know we think great and mighty things. We think, well, God's going to make something supernatural happen. I tell you, I think it's great when I don't know how to do something, or I want wisdom and guidance, and he just shows me what he wants me to do. I think that's great. And I think when I let God lead me, that's when God can be mighty. And when I realize that thou knowest not means I don't know it, but when God shows me, when God reveals me, when God leads me, you know what? I think it's great and mighty. Call unto him. Not only is he going to answer you, he's going to give you the answer that you're looking for and need. Go down to verse number 20. He says, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me. So David was saying here, man, there were some really rough times. I cried out to God, and verse 18 through 19 shows about the power of God and some really cool things. You could spend a lot of time talking about those things. It's just kind of neat to read. But he says, look, he delivered me. He caused me to get what I needed. Deliverance. His way is perfect because he can direct us, unlike anyone else. And when we're going through a hard time that he's directed us to, he can deliver us out of that. But look at that next phrase, and I like this, and it's found in verse number 20, because he delighted in me. And that word delight is a word I've been thinking about a lot lately and been praying about and meditating on. It talks about taking pleasure. And the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. That when our desires line up with God's desires, he's going to give us the desires because we have the right ones. And delighting in God is one thing. But David says that God delighted in helping him. Now, sometimes we go to God and we come to him and we know he's God, we know he's the Lord, and when we're praying, it's like we are tentative to ask him things. God says to cast our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. And he wants us. I think God delights in helping those that are going to live for him. I think God is looking to bless those. What's that verse in the Chronicles? He's how the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. And what is he looking for? He's looking for someone he can show himself strong in. I know that's not a perfect quote, but you remember that verse, 16:9, that he can show thyself strong in. God is looking for someone he can bless. He's looking for someone who's living a life that he can delight in. And I imagine David with the bear and the lion, that he was taking his job seriously. You know, most people as a shepherd, they probably would not have fought off the bear and the lion. The Goliath, I bet you the Lord delighted in finding someone who was willing he could show himself strong in. No one else wanted to be that person. He was able to be. But I think about it. When David was there in that cave and everyone was telling him, David, go ahead and kill Saul. You'll become king. Everything will be okay. And he said, no, I'm not going to take care of my own problems. I'm going to let God take care of them. I'm not going to do it my own way. I'm not going to listen to you. I want to live a life that God can delight in, and I want to live a life that God can bless. As I mentioned earlier, David did do things that were wrong, and that is a testimony to me that God is still willing to forgive, and God is still willing to help us even when we've done wrong, when we get our heart right. But I imagine David having the opportunity to slay Saul, and Abishai was there and saying, go ahead and stick the spear. And I think he even said, I'll smote him once. It won't even have to happen twice. But he's saying, I'm going to let God take care of my problems. I'm going to let God do things in his own way. I'm going to let God lead me because I want him to delight in me. And that's what I want. I want God to delight in me. His way is perfect because, number one, he gives the best directions and because he's able to deliver us. But he also delights in us. Think about what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. People have the wrong view of God. People have the wrong understanding of God. And, you know, they think God is some grandfather with a lightning bolt. And anytime you do something wrong, he's going to zap you. That's not God. His thoughts towards you are not to try to rob you of your joy. He's a person that says you should rejoice always. He's not somebody who's trying to take away your peace. He's saying the peace of God that passeth all understanding. He's not somebody who's going to take away your resources and make you live in such a meager way. He says that he can supply all your needs. And he's saying here, that my thoughts I have toward you. Remember, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They are thoughts of peace. They're not of evil. He wants to take pleasure in giving you the things he desires for you. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." A father delights in their child. At least a father should delight in their child. And sometimes that means correction. It's not because of the fact that they hate them, but because they want to take pleasure in their child. They want them to turn out right. That's why he corrects them. I had the opportunity today. I was up in my back study. I was studying for night. Christian called me up. He was walking home from helping at the church today. And he said, "There's a little boy, there's a police car outside, and there's an SUV outside, and there's a little boy that just ran into the church." I guess the little boy went in to use the bathroom. And I went out to check to see who it was. Little boy had gotten back in the car by that point in time. And the police officer, I went out there, he says, "We're just talking." And I said, "That's fine." And I said, I'm going back in to do my work. The little boy, the dad, I don't know what the police officer, maybe they were friends or whatever, it was a lady sheriff. And the dad came up to me and caught me before I went upstairs and says, "The sheriff said, maybe you could talk to my son. He had stolen something." It was like a little six-year-old boy. And he won't listen to the police officer. He thinks it's funny. And I said, "Okay." I says, "Do you guys go to church anywhere?" He says, "No." I says, "Well, if you don't go to church anywhere," I says, "I really doubt a pastor is going to be able to help instruct him at all. And he's going to listen to me if he won't listen to a police officer. But I'd be glad to sit there and talk to him for a few minutes." And he was a cute little boy. He came in, told me his name. And I said, "Do you know why they want me to talk to you?" And he said, "Yeah." And he says, "I stole something." And he laughed afterwards. He thought it was funny. And I went through about 5 minutes there sitting there talking to him. I talked to him. He knew what church was. He knew God was. He knew that God created the world. And I showed him in the Exodus chapter 20, you know, there's a rule there that says thou shalt not steal. And then I gave him a lot of, we talked for about 5 minutes. The dad was really thankful. You know what? That dad wanted to delight in his son. He didn't delight in the fact that his son had stolen something from a relative. And it wasn't like he went and stole hundreds of dollars. It was something that was small. But the dad was trying to get something to his heart and to his mind. Stealing was wrong and stealing was bad. He should not steal because the dad wanted to delight in what the child was going to do down the road. Because the dad said, if he doesn't learn not to steal and that stealing's not funny, what's going to happen when he's 10? What's going to happen when he's 15? What's going to happen when he's 20? The dad is not going to be able to take pleasure in what the son is doing. And the dad's not going to be able to bless what the son is doing. The dad's not going to be able to help the son the way that the dad would like to help the son. The dad's going to have to call the authorities like he did today and, you know, try to impress upon the child, this is wrong, don't do this. And God, David is saying here, the Lord delighted in him. The Lord delighted in when he did what he was supposed to do because God wants to bless his children. God wants to use his children. And the reason why his way is best and the reason why his way is perfect is because he can give the best directions and because he can deliver when things go a little bit hard, but he delights in us. He's got the best avenue for us. The Bible says in Psalms 149:4, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." Taketh pleasure in his people. You say, "Pastor, I don't see that from God." David put it this way: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Paul put it this way: "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He's saying there that God's way is the best way, and he is going to get you where he wants you to be. "That surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of the Lord, love my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God's loving care of David in the past gave him confidence step by step to be a person that God could delight in. Did he forget sometimes? Yes. At the end of his life, he's looking back and he's seeing God deliver him once again from a giant. And God delivering him, and they're saying, "Look, David, you're too old now. You're not able to, you don't have the reflexes. You don't have the fight that you used to have. You stay home. We'll take care of the giants." And we talked about David training that giant killer. Remember David's nephews? They didn't learn it from their own father. They learned it from watching David. But David isn't complaining. David isn't crying, why am I so weak and why am I so old and why am I so feeble? Why can't I fight the giants? David's saying, if this is the next step, if this is the next way, his way is perfect because he gives the best directions and because he's able to deliver me when times get hard. But I know he delights when I do right. Tonight, as we consider this thought, many times we're challenged with which way to go, what to do. And sometimes we go to the Bible first, sometimes we go to it second or third, but we got to get this into our heart and mind. God knows what's best for us. His direction, his way is perfect because he can give the best directions. He can deliver us when times get hard, like verses 5-7. I could not imagine going through some of the things David went through. But last but not least, because God delights in his children that are doing what's right. It might be tough and hard things, and I'm not minimizing what David went through. Could you imagine losing a baby? Could you imagine having your daughter sexually assaulted by one of her half-brothers? Can you imagine some of the things that they experienced? Their own son Absalom trying to take the kingdom from him. So many different things. But at the end of his life, he says, Lord, your way is perfect. Sometimes I go on my own way, but that wasn't perfect. But today and now I see, as you delivered me once again, your way is perfect. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.